Well, this morning we're going to continue. We're teaching on a subject and talking really a knowledge that overcomes. What you know is so important in your life, and also what you do with what you know. But we need to have the information and walk in the light of the information of the knowledge we have. So there's always an importance to gain knowledge. You're always going to have to continue studying the Word and things, gaining knowledge if you want to go further. You know, it's anything naturally in life. I mean, you can study in a certain area, but as technology changes, you have to learn more different things and how they do things. Things change as you go along. And so you have to gain, always stay on top on knowledge. This is one of the things that I found this out is when I, you know, came along and started getting into things. And I saw, you know, the computer age come. And I saw that story and I just knew this is going to be a big thing. And I watched all the people that fled from, oh, this stuff. I'm sorry, it's here. And there's a lot of things you'll never go into life. There's places you couldn't get jobs anymore. I mean, man, there's secretaries couldn't. You can't get a say. Well, you know, I don't care if you know how to type. Don't matter anymore. You can't get jobs. You have to know stuff. There's things you have to get trained in and go, well, the kingdom of God's the same way. Things you need to know. Mike was talking, dealing with the areas of confession, which I've been listening to Kenneth Hagin's series that he has on confession. I've been going over that again. I've heard that thing so many times, and every time I listen to it, it's like, wow, this is just good to hear again. it's just good. You know, we were singing this song about we drink his living water. Well, the living water is the Word. That's what it is. Now, what refreshes your spirit is the Word. See, people are trying to get refreshed by a lot of different ways with God. You get refreshed by the Word of God. The Word of God refreshes you. And this is what we drink. There's a majority of Christians are dehydrated. They are. They're dehydrated, spiritually dehydrated. That's their problems. Amen. You know? And when you're dehydrated, you know one of the things, sign of dehydration? Your mind starts to go. Your mind starts having problems with your mind. And we know there's a lot of dehydration in the body of Christ because there's a lot of minds that left. When it comes to God's things, where people used to walk, they don't walk anymore. Their minds have gone. And there's only one way to get. If you don't go drinking, and you're going to have to get drink, get refreshed, get hydrated again. And so we want to keep doing that in the Word. Now we're teaching the areas. We're looking at this book. Mike made mention of Charles Capps. Charles Capps. There's nobody did any teaching better on confession than Charles Capps. In fact, the Lord told Kenneth Hagin, stayed mostly in the areas of faith, dealing with confession, all that. And the Lord said to him one day, he said, I want you to start teaching on other subjects. He said, I've raised people up to teach on that subject. He said, I raised up Charles Capps to teach on those areas of faith so you can go on and teach other things. So God's specific. Well, you know, when I heard he raised that guy up, well, then I thought, well, I'm going to find out about it. That's the guy he raised up. See, I don't care who the popular guy is in town today. That's the guy you usually don't listen to.
Amen.
Because the dehydrated people go to the popular guys. Those who run into those. And I said, I'm going to Charles Capps. Now, he has a book, you know, how to avoid tragedy. There's some of the things that I've used in my teaching from him because it's a great book on how to avoid tragedy, and there's a lot of good things in there. There's a lot of people go through, a lot of Christians go through a lot of things they would never have to go through. You know, we can learn going through things, but it's best to find out how to avoid things. And most people, you know, you don't want to be the dummy that went through something bad and didn't learn nothing from it. But you don't want to be the dummy that thinks God teaches you just everything by making things go bad. Because you're a dummy. You're dehydrated, definitely. Your mind's gone. It's, you know, he doesn't do that. You know, when I was in the service and they trained us, see, one thing is when the Lord told me, I'm going to teach you faith by your military training. Now, faith isn't something, it isn't a subject, it's a life. It's a life that you lived. It's not a subject in the Bible. You're supposed to walk by faith. It's the way we live. It's an everyday thing. And so one of the things that they taught us, you know, we went through training and they ran you through what we considered hard things, but they didn't run it through to hurt you. It wasn't there to hurt you. The things that are hurt you come from the devil. They ain't God. Amen. Sickness don't come from God. It hurts you. God don't give you sickness to teach you something. God don't deplete your bank account so you can't buy the stuff you absolutely need because he's trying to teach you. That's the devil does that. And too many Christians go to the devil's school. That's where they go to school. They go to devil high. And they go there and they sit and they believe all that junk that they tell you and the devil's doing it. And the whole time the devil has put the sign up, this is God's school. And they believe it. Anything. You know, the devil said they believe it. So but we ain't going to the devil high. Amen. We ain't going there. So there's things we have to learn. There's one thing that you need to understand. The Word of God, when it comes to you, it for a correction, it corrects you. It never corrects you to hurt you. Amen. I always give you feel, oh man, this is so hard. Yeah, listen to this, that. You don't know what good water is. That's your problem. You're trying to avoid the good water that you need to refresh your life because you look at it from the natural, from your flesh. My heart rejoices in the Word of God. Even when it corrects me, I rejoice in it. Hallelujah. I get to see it. The people that are always trying to avoid those things, they'll repeat their trouble again. They'll be going through it again and saying, somebody pray for me, and it'll be just a lot of wasted prayer. Ain't going to help a bit. You know, you need the water, and that water will cause you to grow. It will. You're in the Word. The water will make you grow. Hallelujah. Now, we're looking at an area today, and we're going to look at James in the third chapter. James is, I was sitting thinking about when we were here this morning, we had worship, and I was just sitting and Mike was talking, and I was contemplating the fact, you know, James. Once I started to get, see, James was sort of a hard place for most Christians to look at. And you know why? I'll just tell you why. You don't know the other books. You don't know Paul's writings well. When I learned Paul's writings well, I really appreciated James. James became a great book to me because I realized James was very, you get over there, you get some growing up. And this is why there's so many Christians that ain't growing up. They're still on pablum, you know. They're still on baby food, you know. They're eating those little, that there, ground up carrot stuff, and, you know. No, I like carrots, but I like to chew on carrots. That's the way. Carrots are one of my, I love to just eat raw carrots. I like them. I like them a lot. And, you know, but you grind them up into something, like, you know, and put them in a jar and say, want to eat them that way? See, how far can we throw these things? Let's have a contest. but we're going to look at today because James in the third chapter, he tells us something. Here's the things that we'll learn. Now, he asks a question in verse 13. He starts off, he says, who's wise and understanding among you? Okay, are you wise and you understanding? Well, we're about to find out. You know, he suckered us in with a question. Well, sure, we're wise and we're understanding. He says, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. So in other words, your wisdom and, you know, your understanding, people can see it all the time by what you're doing.
Amen. Preach.
This is one of the things that, you know, it really amazes me. The craziest things that people do, and they just keep running the same track, and it's absolutely nuts. And you watch them, and it's like, you know, today it's like a bunch of monkeys running around just, you know, doing crazy things. And they have college educations. They have all kind of stuff. They have, you know, they're in positions, high positions. And I watch them, and I think, boy, these are some most stupid people in the world. Why? They don't really... You watch their conduct, and you see, they ain't got any wisdom.
Amen.
They're on a road to destruction. They don't see it. They don't even know. And you need to understand this, because as we look at these things today, we start to see how we can judge things. Now, we find out, you'll find out in these things, we look in what the Word says, we find, yeah, we're miss it, and, you know, we're not perfect. And that stuff. Well, you can go get over and just feel condemned to let the devil do that to you. Or you can listen to your spirit and you'll get edified and it'll help build you up by correcting us and put us in the right direction. And this is what we want to do. We need to do this today. You know, people say, well, the hard sayings, I don't think there's many hard sayings for me anymore in the Word.
Amen. Preach.
You know, I've been whooped with them all.
Yep.
I've been chastened a number of times. So, but you know, the chastening came because of what I didn't listen.
Amen. Preach.
So if you got chastened, it's your fault. Because, you know, if I would have listened, I wouldn't have needed chastened.
Amen. Amen.
So, when you think something's hard, what you're saying is, I've been disobedient and I heard what to do right and I'm ashamed. It throws it back at us. See, I learned a long time ago and I read the book, Kenneth Hagin's book, Don't Blame God. Don't blame God. If it ain't working for Ed, first one to check, it ain't the devil. Mm-hmm. It ain't your wife or your neighbor. It ain't somebody else, your husband. It ain't them. Go look in the mirror at that person. Say, what did you do? Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I've looked in the mirror and found it because I wanted to check. I hadn't done anything. Okay, what's going on here? Why is this? Well, maybe I'm not believing right about something. Maybe I don't understand. But you know, I didn't specifically do. It's nothing about judging yourself. You may find out sometimes you judge yourself, you didn't do nothing. You know, when I got a blood clot in my lung, that's one of the first things. I wanted to know if I missed it anywhere that opened the door for this. I wanted to find that out. Why? If you don't close the door, this is why many people don't get healed. Because the door's open and they want healed, but get healed, you're going to get the same problem right all over again. Because if you don't close the door on, if you did something that's going to allow the devil to get at you, I want to know. You know, I'm into that kind of thing. I want to know. Well, I found out the Lord said to me, don't be concerned about nothing. You're fine. Well, I was glad to hear that. Mm-hmm. But the first thing I did in check, say, I wonder what Wanda did that just came on me. Or what if this happened? You know, you get over and you're on. No, I've learned first. Check me. If I want to know if I missed anything, if I did. And so I hadn't missed anything. And so I know my faith is operable. It is good. I haven't missed anything. If I need something. Because see, what I looked. If I needed corrected, I wanted that correction. I wanted to get that.
Amen.
And we need to teach that today. We teach God's merciful and loving in which He is. But He's not stupid. And He don't let you, it is not wisdom for Him to let you just keep going on doing whatever and whatever and just getting by with it. That's stupidity. Mm-hmm. And see, we know that people have that stupidity today because we see them and their conduct with their kids. Let them keep getting away with stuff and getting away with stuff. Because you know what? Their kids get an image of God. This is, you know, God's the same way. You don't have to pay much attention to Him. Mm-hmm. You know, like mom and dad, they said they're Christians. They're good people. But they ain't correcting me. They're not. Things don't just happen. See, train up a child in the way they will go, and you'll put up with it in the years to come. Good or bad, you're going to put up with it. Oh my God, I get into this. But it is, I mean, you know, this is not bad or hurtful. If you don't get the right information and you don't change, and if you hear it and you don't change, you're stupid.
Come on.
I am being kind. If you hear what to do and you don't do it, you know. We need, there's things in this wisdoms that we need in these areas. And it's just part of what we do. And but you know, it goes on, it says, this verse 14 goes on and says, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. So don't lie against the word. If you have it, don't say you don't. So you have to check yourself. Do you ever check yourself? Your motives is number one. These are things dealing with your motives of why you do what you do. Many years ago, the Lord said to me, motives everything. See, you can do the right thing for the wrong reason. And there's no reward in you. You know, it's like Jesus told the guys that out here, you know, they tithed and all that stuff. And he said, you know, they went out, they fasted, but they made themselves look like they were, you know, run down and everything. He said that was for men to see. He said that's their reward. People see and say good. See, there's many people, they even give money. They give money to be seen, you know. I've given money already, and I tell people, don't you talk about it. Don't you tell nobody. You know, God rewards me open it. I don't need no pats on the back. Mm-hmm. I don't need none.
Amen.
You know. And we don't do this. That's not the purpose that I do things.
Amen.
Nobody needs to pat me on the back. I never did good till I met Jesus anyhow. So, you know, what can I say? What do we do? Take a pat on the back. But he said, if you have these, don't boast or lie against the truth. Don't do that. Why? He says this wisdom, in other words, this is a type of wisdom that people live in. This is a type of wisdom that people have. In other words, their knowledge is tainted. Knowledge, tainted knowledge. So their wisdom is this is what they're acting out. This is their conduct in life. He said, it does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and it is demonic. You see, you know, lots of times we deal with people. This is why psychology is a real problem in the church, because there's a lot of problems with people and their characters because they're yielded to demonic spirits. And you ain't allowed to tell Christian today, you know, James would have trouble eating in America, finding places to preach. You don't tell the Christians they got demon problems. Nobody wants to know that. We're so prideful. There's nothing wrong with me. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with you. Good luck. Now listen to this. Because of this, he says, for wherever envy, self-seeking exists, wherever they're at, these things, this bitterness, this envy, self-seeking, confusion and every evil thing are there. Think about that. Think about what it says. Where they exist, evil can operate and work. It's there. See, this is one of the reasons, and I want to talk about this, because we're dealing with a society today. The things going on. I want you to understand this. These are the set foundations of socialism and communism. Envy and self-seeking. That's all it is. Somebody else has something, you take it from them for yourself, so you have, and this person has. This is what it is. You know, people say, we have a socialistic democracy. There's no democracy in socialism. And when the Lord told me, look, this stuff's in the church and runs wild in the church. The church has become the same way today. They want give offerings so I can go do this for somebody that ain't doing nothing. That is not in participation with anybody. And we're doing, it's socialism. They turn around, you know, Paul writes and said, if a guy don't work, you don't eat. Well, that sure ain't in the church today. You don't work, there's 400 churches that'll make sure you get lunch every day. And they'll take the good people's money and go cut them off that. You know, we're doing a good work out here, you know. See, in our country, is it socialism? I don't care if you're Democrats or Republicans. Socialists. Have all kind of socialist things they do. All kind of stuff. Taking something from somebody to go to give it to somebody else and to do that. And doing those things. You know, even churches today, you know, get federal money for stuff. You know, I don't want my tax dollar going to some certain churches. I don't want that junk going on with my money. People act like, well, that's good if the government does it. I don't want that. When the government gets involved, then the government has say. That's why Brother Hagin would never turn Rhema into a college. He'd never allow it, because the government gets say in how the place is run. That's why when they became a college, how they were run became different. Because, you know, government money. government money starts coming into the place. And he would never do that. See, I'm not interested. I had ministers and I set meetings and they explained how you can do this and you can get government money for this and you can get government money for that. Well, and the faithless love it. And the bigger some of these faith people are, the more they love it. Wherever money comes from, we don't care. Just get it to me. It's not good. It's not a good thing. You know, Jesus wants to be head of the church.
Amen.
Jesus wants, but you know what? He wants to be the head of your life.
Amen.
See, when you have it, see, I found this out. In fact, we were talking, we had dinner together, and Mike and I were one of the things I was talking about is people coming from Christians coming from socialist countries to America have a very hard time because they've never had to believe for things. They have their health care given to them. They're retired. You get old, you're automatically taken care of. You get all this stuff. And they come to America, and it's like, it's hard making it here. And they all want to get on government programs because, and they talk about faith, and they talk about, yeah, they talk. That's what it is. It's a talk faith. They struggle. One guy told me, and you know, a certain person, he said, they're just having a terrible hard time. They've come here because they don't know how to make it. They've had everything taken care of them over there. And they were spirit-filled faith people. You know, they knew how to use their faith on certain areas, but for taking care of your life and stuff, they didn't know how to do it. You know, they did, because why build your faith, you know, over healing? Hey, a lot of Christians today, if you said your health insurance is gone, you know, most of them, you know, just get this burial plot ready. Oh, people talk faith. They talk a good thing about it. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, Wanda and I went to Raymond. We moved out to Raymond. We didn't have no health insurance. We didn't have no health insurance the whole time we were out there. We didn't have no health insurance. God said, go out there. If he can't take care of me out there, well, we got a problem. I ain't against health insurance, but you come to places in life, you're going to have to make a decision, and most people will make their decision based on what they can get the easiest way. And oh, we've learned how to talk this face up. But it just scares us if we have to use it. Don't scare me with that thing. See, it makes you think, you know. So I was talking about people of faith, and you know, I say, you know, we went, got up, moved, and left a job, didn't have a job where we're going to, moved to a place, had no money to get there, but I believe God money to get there, had to do the whole thing, didn't have, but we didn't. But God proved himself out. He was good, you know. He did it, you know. You know, sometimes it's good if you're in a position that you have to believe God. People are trying to, this is one thing is where socialism is bad, and this is what's happened in America. I've watched, socialism has increased since the 80s dramatically, and I've watched the faith people get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker as we go. Because the more socialism comes on, the less they use their faith. Mm-hmm. The less they use their faith. You know, somebody will take care of you. It doesn't matter. If you don't go to work, somebody will take care of you. We're just helping all these people. We're helping all these people. Help all of them. We help drug addicts stay drug addicts. We're just good at it. You know? We'll feed you, take care of it, make sure you get your needles, and we're going to make sure, you know, you get your stuff, and we're going to do your things. And my words, we'll even let you smoke marijuana legally. And we're going to do what we can to help, because we're such a blessing. And makes people nervous. But what we're dealing here is envy and self-seeking. And we need to understand, he talked about this stuff in the heart. Now, James also wrote this, and he did it in the first chapter in verse 26. He made this statement. He said, if any among you think he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Did you hear that? Why do you bridle your tongue? Because of your heart. If you aren't bridling your tongue, how did envy and self-seeking get in there? By what you're saying, what you're talking, what you're doing. See, many people have in areas and that stuff. See, our society generally talks in ways of socialism today and that stuff. Our thinking is along those lines. We just, you know, we look at government. And I'm always think it's really hilarious because I always listen to people talk about, yeah, we need limited government. And every time something happens, well, the government ought to do something about that. The same person that made the statement, we need less government. Well, that's, that, you know, why? They're tied into it. They're just as much a part of it. The government ought to do something. They ought to take care of this. Because I'm too busy with myself and my self-seeking and my... Oh. We need to understand these things and want to talk to you about what they are. When you deal with... We're dealing with envy. Envy is a sense of discontent or jealousy with regard to another's advantage, success, or possessions. A desire of advantage possessed by another. In other words, to try to get another person's position, trying to do that. This is loaded. See, what happens is socialism promotes this. You know, everybody wants to be equal, but in socialism, everybody's stepping on each other to try to get to the top. Why? Because the guy at the top of socialism always has everything, and everybody else just gets the minimum. That's socialism. You'll never go to a socialist country and find it equal with the people on the top. Never. But that's the whole premise. It's going to be. Yeah. You know, it never is. It never is. And we need to find that. It's number one, a person who works hard and they do a business and all that kind of stuff and they do all those things and you work for them, you shouldn't have what he has or they, her has. You shouldn't. Go start your own business. Because if you did and you got employees and they'd want what you have, you'd get mad about it. But yet you were doing that to the other guy. This is all... See, people don't see themselves as envious when they are. See, America's full of envy of wanting what other people have. Government, take money and go do this for me. It's always this. We're always going to do it. We're going to take something from somebody. You know, Jesus didn't run around and try to take something from everybody else, give it to somebody else. I don't know where people get it from. Like he's running around trying to take everybody in there. He didn't run around and say, hey, we're raising money, get over to this guy, let's go do this and all this and that and the other thing. In fact, if you read the New Testament, they never went after the people of the world to take care of. It was always people in the church. Most Christians don't know the Bible at all. They wouldn't know if it fell out of the heaven on top of their head and knocked them out. They'd just say, what's that big old thing laying over there? I just... say, read it! Oh, we got to do that now. But envy. See, we need to deal with these things because these are things that we're dealing with. People, for gain, here's one of the things. We talk about here in America about moving up the ladder, but you need to understand about your attitude about moving up the ladder. See, a lot of people, their attitudes, they're trying to get, you know, somebody gets promoted over them, they're mad about it, you know. I should have gotten this or I deserve this or that or the other thing. You need to be careful about yourself and your attitudes with those things because they can open the door to things in your life that are major, major problems we find. Every evil work. Any evil thing can happen. See, you need to do that. There's nothing matter with wanting to succeed and go ahead, but you better watch your attitude of what you do about doing that. One thing is I've learned this from the time as being a young Christian. I never look at somebody rich, and I don't care if they're a Christian, non-Christian, or whatever they are. I don't ever look at a person as rich. Well, they're rich. They got rich because of that. You talk that kind of stuff, and I'm going to tell you what, you're just one of the heathens in the bunch. That's all that is. You know, it's another thing, you know, if a person got rich, you know, well, he's a crook. And how do you know? You've been working with him. Well, so-and-so said, well, there you go. You and the devil got a good conversation going, and he told you that. And you go around and repeat what your brother said. He talked to you so much. You're good relatives now. I'm not against. I'm not against people. You know, and they do crazy sometimes, people. They give money to things that I would never even touch go. But hey, they earned their money. And number one, I'm not getting over to want their stuff. I'm not going to that place. I'm not going to go. And we need to, you know, people get over into things, and I see sometimes, you know, well, this person, they have enough money, they could do this or they could do that. Well, let me check your checkbook. Bring it over to me. We'll go through some things and find out what you should have been doing. Right. Want to go there? Oh! This guy getting ugly. But you know what? Now, the whole thing of it is, this is written why? Because God wants to bless people. If we don't deal with these things, we want to go to something greater. We want things to happen. I'm just going to tell you. There's one of the things that I learned. If you want to step into the areas of miracle, even coming into your own life with healing and stuff like that, you better be able to deal with these things in your life.
Preach.
Yep. This is, I buried people because they wouldn't deal with these things. Christians, people say, good people, this and that and the other thing. I'm sorry, they had things that opened the door to things. See, one of the things that the Lord taught me immediately because, see, I was a good employee to work, but I had a terrible attitude when I worked at Reese's before I got saved. See, one thing, I don't understand, like a lot of people today, I really feel bad for people who get saved under a ministry that almost preaches, you know, prosperity all the time. I feel bad for them because they get this focus, and you know, God didn't deal with, God's dealt with me about my personal life. He dealt with me about my, I am so glad. As number one, see, I listen to brother, he told me stay close to Brother Hagin's teaching, and he'd talk about stuff. And so God would deal with my life. It's like he dealt with me. He would never allow me to blame Wanda for something. Even if she did something wrong. Well, it's my response. He said, no, this is about your response. What are you doing? What's your response? What do you do? And I'd, you know, it wasn't fun for me. Well, what he was doing was trying to train me. I was at work, you know, and I was unhappy at work, and I found out why I was unhappy at work. It was Ed. Because you know what? I became fine on my job after learning some things for a year or so, but I was working the same place and they're still doing the same nonsense, but I was happy. I wasn't all bent out of shape. Why? I had to change. I had to make changes. That don't mean you just want to stay there and keep going. That doesn't mean that. But you have to be able to win those situations. Is God's word big enough to keep you and hold you and make you stand in these things? Or do we just sort of flow in and out of it depending on the situation?
Come on.
Hey, this stuff either works in the tough times or I don't care.
Amen.
It's easy to play Mr. Happy and Good when ain't nothing going on.
Amen.
But you know what? See, what it was, and I'll tell you, it's me. I was causing my problems. The way I was thinking about things and looking, I was trying to take responsibility on myself for what would be mine. You know? What they ought to be doing. What do I care what they do? If they don't run their company right, that's their problem. That's not mine. But I was taking it on. Well, they ought to do this. Well, we ought to, I'll tell you what. We did. You know, it's like, hey. You know, they pick a guy who's a lousy employee, a guy in charge. Well, that was their stupid play. They picked him. That's their problem. It don't work. It don't matter. I just got to go on. I'm going to do my job and do what they say. And they can do all their nonsense. And they can make 87 mistakes. And they'll just keep paying me to correct them.
Amen.
And I kept getting increases in pay to correct them.
Amen.
Then they'd have to give me overtime on Saturday and pay me time and 3/4. And if I worked on Sunday, they'd have to double time me. Oh, I tell you, it was awful. Correcting their mistakes. But you know, I learned. See, I was unhappy because I was unhappy. And I was carrying it over to there in my thinking. See, this is one of the things. You got to change. You got to change your knowledge. You got to change. You got to look at the book and say, see, what I was doing, I was opening the door for every evil thing to come knocking on Ed's door. Mm-hmm. I was opening up. I had all this envy, this strife, self-seeking. I was definitely more important than any of you. That's right. I was number one. You know, You know, you get married, you say you love your wife. No, I loved Ed first. And so did you. You loved you first, so let's get over it. Let's, you know, you were first. You did. You know, we used to say, you know, yeah, we would love this person. Really, well, when it came down to push and shove, it's what made me happy came first. That's what really mattered. You don't want Ed unhappy, or wasn't that, hun? You didn't want Ed unhappy. It was hell. Ed was unhappy. You know, you got to keep the big jerk happy. You know. Because he's just a loving. I run into Christians like that. Why? They don't ever change their knowledge. So you don't want to come self-seeking. Because what happens, you can't see, but it's just, you know, for a lot of Christians today, they're self-seeking. It's about the blessing of God toward them. That's self-seeking. The blessing's about blessing. We're blessed to be a blessing. We're blessed for that sin. My God, the more I can walk with God, the more I can bless other people. You know, when I learned about this, I realized I got in when I started, you know, with really in the ministry and understanding the gifts that operate through me. It wasn't until then that time when I got into full-time ministry, I started seeing things that operated through me that I didn't realize it before. But I realized I found this out, that most of the ministers I'm around, they thought the gifts that were in them was for them and the blessing their life. And my gift wasn't for me. It's for other people. It ain't for me. Jesus put these gifts in the church. First apostle, prophet, he put them in the church. They're for the church. God don't gift you for you.
Amen.
God don't want you to have a good job making good money just for you.
That's right. Amen.
If you can't see, this is about me having a great life. No. This is about you. Every evil work going on, that's selfish, it's self-centered. When I started to realize, no, if I want this gift to really work and be able to help people, if I want to get revelation to teach, I got to realize God wants to say something to the people. He wants to say something to somebody else. It isn't that I can't learn from it, but he wants to. A lot of my revelation and stuff I get because I've learned how to get that. He told me, because you give it away. Loads of the ministers out here with money and stuff like that, they preach it. I said in a group of Rhema ministers, and everybody, well, you know, if your church is down on money and all that kind of stuff, and you're, you know, have money and troubles, you start teaching on money. When I said to them, I said, you can't do that. That's the wrong motive. You can't preach so you get money. I said, you're supposed to preach it so the people get money. I said, that's a wrong attitude. Well, you know, they got their rocks out, their bags, you know. I'm sorry. This is our doctrine. You know, this is what we're going to do. I said, hold it. See, you can't do this. My number one is, I want you blessed.
Amen.
And you need to understand, you need to be blessed.
Amen.
It was in 2014 when the Lord spoke to me about it. He said, I want you blessed. He said, because I can trust you with money. You'll do what I want with money. I want you not. And see, I said, well, you know, I need money. So I got to tell you, now you got to give me money. You know, we need money. We need money, this and that. We need money, this and that. And that's what the people are. They are. I mean, a big church, you know, 3,000 people in the pastor. They call their giving units. What's it they call their people? And I told him flat out, I said, if I went to your church, I'd leave immediately. You ain't calling me. I ain't your giving unit. I ain't that. See, that's wrong attitudes and that's wrong things. I mean, same minister. He couldn't figure out, you know, things like his dad died when he shouldn't have and all this. He's trying to figure all this stuff out. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, you don't think you're far out there, but you're far out there. Wow, this kind of stuff. You know, I don't want to look at you as, it's for me. It's for me. No, it's not. It's not for me.
Amen.
You know, self-seeking is this. It's described as a person who is concerned only with his own welfare. A person susceptible to being bribed. An ambitious, self-willed person seeking opportunity for promotion. It also means electioneering. A partisan faction spirit that would resort to any method for winning followers. Folks, there's a lot of that goes on in church. And, you know, the whole thing of it is, if we don't stop and look at it and say, am I involved in any of this? Am I doing any of this? Why? Because we found out, James said, this opens the door for the devil to bring any kind of junk. We don't want this junk to come. See, I want to be well, but I want other people well too.
Amen. Preach.
We want others well. And see, I don't want to find these kind of things in myself. I don't want to find them in me. And this is one of the ways, you know, finding out what the Word says and says it. I found this out. To change yourself in these areas, you're going to have to get things into your heart concerning them. To walk right. So you're going to have to pick up a way of talking. You're going to have to speak what the Word says and start to say those instead of saying the wrong things. Well, this person, boy, they this and they're this and that. So you say those things. Those words spoken will start to get into your heart. They'll get into your heart. And you know what? They will produce. They will get a lot of good parable of the sower weeds growing. Oh yeah.
Amen.
And you'll have a nice crop that'll come, and then this is what they always say. Why did the Lord let that happen to me? He didn't make it happen. You grew it. You grew that thing. You grew it. And you watered it, kept saying it. Kept watering that thing with those words. And you know what? The faith that you had in it, it got choked. It got choked. We watered the weeds. We didn't water the Word in us. We watered the weeds in us. See, there's a lot of people, they sort of have like two gardens in them. They have this one and they'll turn around and they'll confess the Word in certain areas of things, and on the other part, they'll have over here a good weed garden going. And they can't produce nothing but junk in this area. Their life just produces junk. They'll have certain areas over here and they produce pretty good off of this, but they'll have areas that they can't produce out of. Do you ever run into people like that?
Mm-hmm.
They get things. Wrong thinking gets in. They're talking wrong stuff and they're saying wrong things and they're doing. And over one side here, they do pretty good. Over on this other side here, they just keep getting junk. There's things. See, you know, I don't know how. I figured this stuff out many years ago because I watch people and I thought different people are like, boy, they really produce well over in this, but boy, this side, certain things they don't produce well. But they're really good in this area. This one area, they're really good. But over here, they ain't no good. They ain't no good at it. And I started to realize they got stuff growing. Got ways of thinking, not in them. And they're speaking those things. And they're growing those things. You know? It's like having a garden. It seems like you can, you know, plant more than one thing. And sometimes you can keep some of it separated. There's one thing as we want to look out this, you can't. That's dealing the areas of love. You're going to have to be, because if you don't deal with yourselves in these areas of love. And this is why this envy and self-seeking, because it deals with other people. It deals with other people. And this is where you want to be careful because of that dealing with other people. You don't want to do things in there that really affect the good stuff that you have growing in you. You don't want to do that. You have good stuff growing. You want to keep producing. Because I found this out. There were certain areas that I was better at than others. And what I did, some of them I was weaker in faith in. I had learned how to develop faith more in those areas so I could produce better in those areas. You have to do that. And we're going to have to learn that as believers, is to hook up. Now, one of the things, I always think this from Ephesians, because I want to bring this out. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, there's a scripture there because people talk about, you know, we have this Christianity that some groups are very passive. And they act like there's some kind of great godliness in it, being passive. Well, there's no great, being passive. You're in the earth. You know, the Bible talks about it is nothing weird that you have emotion. God developed man with emotion. Did you ever run into a person who had mental problems and they were like a blank? Did you ever run into a person like that? Yeah, they're just like blank. Don't have emotion. I've been around people like that. They don't have. That's not good. I've been around Christians who are like that. You know, they don't. You know, they think they're spiritual. You know, nothing moves me. That's right. nothing moves you, and they're probably going to pick you up and carry you over and put you in a box, and we're going to bury you over here after. You know, it's just, okay. But this scripture says, be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Now, because one thing, when you're dealing with this envy, self-seeking, and all that kind of stuff, you're going to be dealing with anger issues. Things are going to make you mad. That lots of times leads you into this stuff where you turn around and where envy starts coming and self-seeking wants to rise up. But I want you to see this. What he did, which Christianity just blots it right out. He said, be angry. He didn't say, don't ever get angry. He said, be angry, but this, don't sin. In other words, you can be angry and not sin. Jesus got angry, made a whip, went in the temple and ran those money changers and the guys selling and stuff, ran them out of the temple. Did he sin? Well, according to most Christianity, he did today. But he could do that, he was gone. If you went and did that, and there's churches, we should. We ought to go get whips. Well, let's put it this way. You're the temple of God. Maybe every once in a while we ought to get a whip and run a few things out of us. What do you think? Every once in a while I got to get the whip out and say, okay, that's enough of this. This is out. This is gone. You got to do that. But see, you need to understand this kind of, you know, one of the things it is like what Jesus did. Jesus is angry. If you read the whole story, it said then the sick came to him and he healed him. You see, healing was stopped there because of what was going on. He did not do that for him. See, most people would get the whip and go into a church because they don't like what they don't like hearing what they're doing. They don't like it. Isn't to bring healing. It isn't to no. It's because I don't like it. It isn't about ministering to anybody. This is good preaching. Well, then it was. It makes us judge our motives. And that's what we all do. If for anybody here, you don't need your motives judged, I'm sorry, you're lost already. Just, you know, hit the pike. I mean, it's we all need motives judged. Why am I doing this? See, there was a purpose that he went and did what he did. It says, angry and sin. In other words, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Now the word anger is a word describes a passion. You can have a furious, you go to rage, it says, you know, with desire. One of the things you have to watch, and this is it, because you can go to a desire of revenge. This is one, and understand this. Now, I'm probably the only guy that's ever had that happen. I'm sure none of you have ever got to the point. I want to choke them now. Yeah. Or, where did I put the gun? I knew it was around here somewhere. They should never lock them in safes. I need it now. I just get you never got over onto that thing. You were just all so cute. Anyhow, but it is. But it can be a very intense passion. If you don't deal with anger, anger will go to, can lead to the point. In fact, you know, want to kill somebody. You'll actually go to that point. But see, this is what happens when it's uncontrolled, because this is what he said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. The word wrath, that's uncontrolled anger. You always want to keep anger in control. In other words, and bring it to a halt by the time the sun goes down. See, it's one of the things, you know, and as I learned, you know, too, like with your kids and stuff, you can get, I learned this, you had to get, if you get angry at what they do, just deal with them with it and then let it alone. You know, it isn't 2 weeks later and we're still walking around mad about that. Why? Your son, it turns to no good. But no one, because it turns to no good in you. And you let it fester, let things. This is where people, I'm just going to tell you, there's people who get angry and they never deal with it. They let the thing go, but it festers in them all the time. You know, for this, a lot of people don't like any confrontation on anything. Folks, that's a weakness. That's not a strength.
Amen.
That's a weakness. Because it affects you. The devil will hold a place in you, will keep you from going to where you want to go.
Amen.
Because I'm going to tell you what, somebody who's in that position, I'll tell you what, they're most of the time not forgiven. They're always remembering what that person did or what happened. Or it's always in them. It's always in them. It's dealing with this stuff. You know? You got to go. You go to bed. You have a problem. You go to bed. You don't go to bed mad. It's going to deal with it. This is a good piece of wisdom.
Amen.
Yes. Now let's keep this going for a week or two, and let's get on. Let's get this festered a little bit here. You know, I always get a kick out of these people saying, "We know somebody they killed somebody," and they said, "We never thought they'd do that." Well, you were never around them much if you didn't, because people aren't silent. These things fester. You ever sit and talk with a person over time? You find out what people are angry about and what bugs them and what makes them, you know, things that do it, things that really bug them. And so there are things that we have to deal with, and you need this. There's nothing wrong with getting angry. There's things, if you don't get angry about, you're sick. But we want to get angry, but we need to have to learn how to deal with it. That was one of the things I had to learn, how to deal with anger. Getting mad and just wanting to carry it on, and just how to, no, let's bring this thing to a stop. Well, you can. And we want to find out, because you can do it. You can be able to go ahead and do this. God gives ability to do it. Now, one of them is dealing, is we're going to talk about in the areas of love. In 1 John is a good chapter to look at, is dealing on the subject of love, especially as an area to walk in, because it's very empowering and you need it to keep yourself from getting carried away into, letting anger go too far in that stuff. The Bible says this. It's number one, we're dealing a subject of love. The Scripture says this, that the love of God has been shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. When you got born again, your nature now is love. It is. It's what you are. That is shed abroad in your heart. Love is not something we're trying to get. Love is something the believer has. It's what you got. Now, people say we need to grow in love. We need to understand, like sometimes I'd like to ask some people, like you hear them say it, you can't talk to them about it, but I'd like to see, what do you mean by grow in love? The love of God never grows. God don't grow, love don't change. If His love's in me, my love never grows. What happens concerning love is really you learn to respond to it and learn to cooperate with what's in you. Now you grow in that manner, but you don't get more love. More love never comes. If you have the love of God, you can't get, I'm only going to give you a little bit of it. Well, what's in that little bit? That you'll just be nice to the neighbor, but you'll still shoot the guy, two blocks down. I mean, what? Well, it can't be that. It has to be, it's a love. It's there. It is one thing is, people talk about, people made statements I've heard over the years. We need a baptism of love, let's say in the church. No, you don't. There's no such thing as a baptism of love anyhow. It happened to you. Your nature is love. Now think about that. It is natural for you and I to respond in love. It's natural. Say, well, my God, it sure doesn't seem to me. Well, it's like every person. The Lord's told me this as a young Christian. He said, why are my people keep asking me for what I already gave them? See, Christians are asking about love, and they already gave it to them. And see, as long as you talk and you respond and use your mouth to God saying words that are wrong, you're not going to get nowhere. Because your spirit is hearing those words you say, and you'll go right back to the thing, doing the wrong thing over and over and over again. See, no, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. That's why with 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter tells us about how we're supposed to love. He says this is the way love is. Well, how could God say that if we didn't have that? I mean, that would be unjust to expect out of me. Well, see, because that's the actions of the Christian, but you need to understand, it's God's love. You need to understand this. That's how God loves you. He's not asking you to do something for somebody that He doesn't do for you.
Amen.
See, I was preaching to a kid in church. God's holding everything against you. You're doing this wrong, and man, He's marking it down. He got a file cabinet in heaven. He has a warehouse just with cabinets of what Ed did. Heaven's got to be a big place just because the warehouse where my stuff's. Well, see, the Bible says don't keep account. Love don't take account of evil done to it. Man, I wish a church would wake up one day. You see, if I understand, and this is most Christians don't walk in love because they don't have a clue how God loves them. They make a mistake, and if they're going to do anything, they're going to be the first one to knock themselves out over the head with a club. Instead of stopping and saying, you know, God, I'm just so glad that you love me and you ain't got evil plan for me. I'm just so thankful. Hallelujah. You know? Because he doesn't. And see, we in the same manner, you're not going to love, you can't love beyond how you know you're loved. You know, it's just like a relationship, you know, over time, you know, the person in a marriage, you know. You know, Wanda and I, you know, we have learned over the years how to ignore a lot of things we say to each other. Just, you know, don't pay any attention to it, you know. There's stuff you just got to do that. You can't, you know, every little thing it said, and they did this, or they, and we just got the point. Ah, it was said, okay. You got to come to that point. And that's where it is. You don't think God's any different? He's up there just sitting in the ear and the whole thing the whole time. Just man, his ear is so full of garbage. And see, when we get over here thinking about love, well, in 1 John in the second chapter, he makes this statement. He says, again, he said, a new commandment I write to you. Which thing is true in him and in what? He said, this commandment, I like this. I've never heard anybody ever teach it the way that it's written. He said, which thing is true in him and in you? The new commandment's in you. Did you know that? You see, the love of God's going to, he's going to talk about the love. See, he said, this new commandment is in him and it is in you. See, it's not something you're trying to get in you. It is already in you. See, I've heard Christians say, well, I just can't love this person. What's the biggest lie they ever said out of their mouth in life? Well, then you must not. I'd always say to them, then you're not a Christian. Is that right? Well, yes, I'm a Christian. Well, you just lied. You couldn't. I can't forgive. You know, I just can't do that. You just don't understand. What they are, they're fleshly. In that area of their life, they're just downright fleshly. But they don't realize what they do. The great danger of that is because they open the door for every evil work. See, you prolong into that long enough and you go into it. I have never found a person, people that don't forgive other people, that things work out well in their lives about stuff. Eventually, down the road, they're going to have numbers of things that are going to go wrong that are going to happen, where the devil's going to have access and people say, well, I don't know. They seem like they're a good person. Yes, did you ever really sit and talk to them? And they can tell you about, you know, I was like the ones, you know, somebody did something to them, you know, 30 years ago and it's still on the top of the list. That person did 30 years. What does it matter now? You know, the person's in the grave and buried and they're still. Like, say, I'm sure they care a lot about it. Because do you remember what you did to me? I say, I don't care what I did to you. Forget it. See, we ain't going back over that. We ain't going to those places. People walk around, carry that stuff on for years and expect they do those things. We don't want to, we have a commandment. This commandment's in you. He said, because the darkness passed away and true light is already shining. What's the truth? He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Now listen, it said, this is about light. You're in darkness. God said a person's in darkness walking in hatred toward his brother is in hatred. That's darkness. Yeah, but they did this or they did that. See, you can't stay there on that. They did. They did. You why? Because it puts you in darkness. It didn't, you know, maybe what they did wrong put them in darkness, but you just joined it. Ain't that stupid? Say, you know what? I'm going to show them. I'm going to join darkness with them. I'll tell you. I'm going to prove this thing out. They're in darkness, and I'm going to get in darkness. Okay. He who loves his brother abides in light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Did you see that? Gee, Lord, why did I stumble here in this? Why did this happen to me? Oh, I better do some checking. Do I have anything? Am I holding something against? I want to know. Am I holding something against somebody? Am I holding something against? I want to know. I don't want to hold. I'm not holding anything. I don't want to hold anything against them. See, making sure. These are the areas, and I'm just going to say this. This is why a lot of Christians don't get healed, is because they never do. It tells us in Corinthians to judge ourselves lest we would be judged. So we don't get condemned with the world. This is why many in a church are weak, sick, and die prematurely. This is why. They don't judge themselves. See, we judge ourselves. This is about, we measure ourselves against the commandment that's in us. Not something, I'm not looking for it on a page. That love's in me. It's inside of me. I always like what Kenneth Hagin used an example about a lady who came to him, because he was teaching on healing, but he talked about love, and he said about love is why you're dealing there, not walking in love and not being able to be healed. And he was talking about not having, you know, because John said, you know, if you hate your brother, you don't have eternal life in you. And she came to him after the service and said, I guess I'm not saved. She said, I hate my mother-in-law. And Brother Hagin said, I just took her a little further and I just said, yeah, well, you're probably right. You're probably not saved. Well, so, you know, sometimes you got to get a person out there till they listen. Now he got him a point where she's in shock. He made this statement to her. He said, I want you to do something for me. He said, because he was going to see her later on that night. They were going to see them. He said, I want you to do this. I want you to just walk around and say this. I hate my mother-in-law. And he says, check what's going on in the inside of you. He said, you do that. So that night he saw her. He said, did you do what I said? She said, yes. She said, I did what you said. And she said, he was said, what was going on the inside? She said, well, it's like a scratching going on. See, it was her conscience. That's the law of love inside of her saying, you can't do that. See, the inner man wasn't going on. Why? The inner man, love of God is shed abroad in him. See, it's in you. It's the nature. It's your nature. See, to me, my conscience is a wonderful, glorious thing. It is, well, my conscience bothers me. Apparently, it's a bad thing. Thank God I got a conscience. You know, sometimes it had to slap me. But thank God I had a conscience. Thank God I had a scratching on the inside. You know, I needed a scratching on the inside. And see, get yourself, the law of love's in there. And you'll know when you're breaking it, if you'll look to the inside. But see, what people do, this is why you don't let anger go down. Don't let the sun set on it. Why? Because that anger, many times the people angry about, shields their spirit. They're so noisy over the anger, they don't hear what's going on in the inside. That's why. Bring the anger thing to an end as quickly as you can, so you can hear on the inside. Amen. See, this is for your protection. This is not something to beat Christians up. It's to help us. This is what we do. So you and I, we bring this anger thing. So then we don't get into the self-seeking. We don't get into all that envy. We leave all that stuff. And we come over here and see, love is the wonderful gauge on the inside with our conscience. It's a wonderful gauge. So it's a glorious thing. And so we want to walk in the light of that. Well, the guy who hates his brother, verse 11, it says, he who hates his brother's in darkness and he walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Did you ever get somebody over in the areas of that stuff and they're upset about it? They got over and they're mad at somebody or something and they've just been at this thing. You cannot get them to see their problem. I've had people sit down, you know, Christian, tell them what the Bible says. Yeah, but they did this. Yeah, well, why should they be allowed to get away with doing that? Why should they just keep going on? They're in darkness. That's why they stayed over there. And you can't even talk to them anymore. You can't talk to them. People can get outside of reasoning, of good reasoning, get outside of Bible reasoning about things like this. That's why you don't want to get things carried too far. You know, I'll guarantee you, like they said, it was almost 60% of people, like over the last couple of years, got married, got divorced. It was up that high, you know. You know, they got married, fell in love in COVID, you know. That's what the flu will do to you. Make you crazy. But anyhow, they were saying about, but you know, these people. But the whole thing was, you take most people. Most, Most people in divorce, lots of times in divorce, goes through this. It's not everybody. Lots of times in divorce, it's because things got carried to extreme. And nobody ever shut it down. They had problems and they just carried it till they cannot see nothing but darkness concerning that individual, and they can't ever correct things. But they never correct it in themselves. So I always told people to talk to Christians that stuff about divorce. I said, now always remember this. You're going to be in your next marriage if you have one. And your junk's going with.
Amen.
And you might find out the next marriage with you in it ain't going to work well either.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
I've seen people do that. They have been the problem of their next marriage. Because they carried into their next marriage what they were doing in the other one. You know. Surely it was always the other person's fault. Now, before I was saved, you know, I was married and divorced. And you know what? The first thing that God settled in me about the fact was, is my fault in that. He showed me. He showed me what I had done. Because I could see this. I was carrying that stuff into my marriage here. That had to change. I can't carry that into here. Can't do that. So see, I needed to make a change. It doesn't change. So, I mean, you might think you're wonderful, but the rest of the world may not. So, not everybody thinks you're cute. I know to some people, that's like, oh! My God! I got 1,000 followers online. And the reason I do is they don't know me. Say, I can't get anybody that knows me to join the club. You know that's a problem. We have to laugh at ourselves. You have to. Keeps you from crying. No, but you have to. You gotta, God's got a sense of humor. He has to. Or he'd have quit a long time ago. He has to have a good sense of humor. You know, understand. Don't we do that so the children are little, the dumb things they do, and we just laugh, look at them, and it's so stupid and the dumb stuff that they do, and they do. And I imagine God looks down at us sometimes and just laughs and says, "Do you see what? Oh my God, look at what this guy's did." They get chuckles out of us, I'm sure. But we find the fact, he says, "But darkness blinds them." So let's not get into that area. We're allowing darkness to blind you and me. Let's not go there. Let's not go to that place. See, we need to deal with these things. And in the body of Christ, this is why the love... Now, we could go on and read a lot of scriptures on this subject concerning love. You go into 1 John, John deals. You know, one of the things John said in the fifth chapter, 1 John... let me do this. Go to 1 John, the fifth chapter. The fifth chapter, just starting at verse 1, it says, "He who believes that the Son, that Jesus is the Son, is the Christ, is born of God. And everyone who loves him who is begotten also loves him who is begotten of him." So in other words, it is the nature for us to love our brother. It's not because your brother does everything right or is right or isn't. We still got to walk in love. You'll see the scriptures deal majority with the saint, loving the saint. You can't love the saint, you can't love the world. And this is why the church has a hard time loving the world, because you can't love each other, you know.
Right.
You know, a person's a Christian, whether you like, you read the book of Revelation, we find that even the most squirrely churches had people in them that were still right. They're our brethren. Whether we like it or not, you know, say, what are they doing there? I don't know. But one thing of it is, they're born of God, and they're still following the Lord. And so we need to walk in love. I mean, that's just the way it is. They're doing them things. He goes on and says, he's by this. In other words, because of loving the ones that love, he said, by this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and we keep his commandments. See, loving your brother is a sign of loving God. See, people say, I love the Lord, but boy, that squirrel that sits over there, I don't know about him. We need to understand this. You can't love Jesus and not the church. We're His body. See, man, I like, you know, I really like your shoulders and arms, but your head, I don't like at all. <laughs> You know? No, to love Jesus Christ is to love the church. That's why majority of Christians don't love Jesus, because they don't have nothing to do with the church. They say, we're Christians, we don't go to church, we ain't a part of it. I'm sorry. They don't love. That's like me telling Wanda, I love her and I'm living with another woman. That's what the church does, these people. And they go around, and nobody will say anything to them. I tell people and they say it. You know, I get people called and say, you know, I'm a Christian and I need help. And the first thing I ask, what church are you? Don't go to church. Why are you calling the church for help? You don't help. How would you be part of the church? You don't love the church. You only love us if you can get our money. I said, the good lovers of Jesus bring their money in, and you that don't love want to turn around and come over and get your hand in our pot. See, they're socialists. They follow the God of socialism. You'll find this in socialism and communism. Remove God. That's what they do. Remove God, we have get rid of morality. This is why a lot of the church world loves socialism. Because we don't get too religious, you know. We just have our nice little sayings on the sidelines. We got our cliches and we carry a cross and I wear one. So we're on top of it now. Woo-wee! And I do have a sticker on my car that is about a quarter of the size of the dog sticker. I can preach it, man. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not, listen to this, His commandments are not burdensome. I had to repent over this scripture because of this. People say, well, man, sometimes it's hard to walk in love. Scripture says it's not burdensome.
Amen.
Do you know why it's been hard? We have confessed it and confessed it and said it and said it till we can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I had to change Ed's confession. Walking in the commandment of love is neither burdensome to Ed at all.
Amen.
It's natural that I should do that. Now, ain't that good? That's a wonderful revelation. That one ought to be one of those in those promise book things instead of all that other stuff. Yeah, I'll tell you, it'd be more beneficial to a lot of people. Because when it comes over to love, people drag along. Boy, I got to try. Oh, man, this is... Hold it. The Word said... John said, this ain't burdensome. This isn't a hard thing. And I saw that and said, Ed, you need to repent. And verse 4 goes on and says, for whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. You see, you find out, you know, faith worketh by love, you know. You see that? Now here he says, why? See, our faith and this commandment, they're hand in hand. You can't separate the two of them. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That person, you and I are designed to overcome the world. The new birth, why? You have the law of love. It is in you. It's what you are. You have inside. It's not burdensome for you to walk in love because it's your nature. It's what you are.
Amen.
See, we need to teach it. We keep teaching and trying to get somebody like we're trying to get them to get this love in them. And we're trying to, no, it's already there. What we need to come in, the Word will give us the water that turns around and shows us what is already in us. That all we have to do is respond to it. Respond to what's in you. You don't need more love. You just need to be able to respond to the love of God that's in you. And if you know how to do it, it's number one, you got to do it by the Word. We're designed to overcome. It's Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus, there's neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything. So your background don't mean nothing.
That's right.
It ain't worth spit. What is it? What really matters? He says here, but faith working through love. That's what really matters. See, always say this about yourself. I can love and I can walk in love. It is my nature to love. It is not my nature to be unforgiving. It is not my nature to hold envy, strife, or anything. That's not my nature. Say those things, because that's the truth. If you're talking any other way, you're talking wrong. Let your spirit, I want to tell you what, you'll empower yourself. You'll be surprised as the more you do that, and after a while, that's what you're walking in. No, it's my nature to do this. See, if you're trying to become something, then it's not your nature. Now it's a different thing. We're not learning the Bible to find out what we want God to give us. I wanted to find out what He already gave. See, healing was already given. I'm not trying to find out in the Bible God healing me. I wanted to find out He gave me healing. Amen. Most people are taught they're trying to get it. No, He gave you healing. Would you have love and not healed? See, I can't believe somebody don't believe in healing. They ought to read the Bible on what love is sometimes. You love somebody? Well, if you love, like your children, you love your children, you want them sick. What do we think of a person who does stuff to their kids? Made their kids sick. Oh, good, that was God working in them for sure. My words, let's give them a trophy. No, it is only natural that that health should be in us. It's the love of God. If the love of God's in me and He doesn't want me well here, then heaven has the same love and you'll be sick there. See, get it in your thinking about what you have in you. Hallelujah. Don't condemn yourself. We can all sit down and say, oh, I got 47 places, I missed it. You can go through that, or you can stop and say, okay, hey, this is where we're heading to.
Amen.
This is where I'm going. This is what I'm going to do with this thing. Okay? Now I see it. I know what I can start to do to get this direction rolling right. I know what I can begin. See, don't get over it. You get over the negative side, you turn, you know what you do? You take the clean water of the Word and you make it dirty. You mix it with your emotions and your natural regrets and everything. You mix it in there with that. You make the water dirty. Don't do that. Stop and say, okay, if I missed it, well, I could easily repent. Lord, my words, I probably missed it 900 times, but I can only remember 43. But anyhow, so we'll repent. But God will forgive you. Say, Lord, hey. And just get up. Hey, this is how I know what to do. This is what the teaching's about, to show you what to do to change it. It's not to throw you in the ditch. It's not what it's for. And so, hey, I know it. And the biggest thing of it is, Mike started at the beginning, and I just want to say, I talk about confession, what you're saying with your mouth. If you want to overcome, if you want this knowledge that you have victory, the first thing you need to get knowledge on your mouth. You need to begin to start to speak it about what the Word says. Hallelujah. I'm born of God. I have the nature of God. I have the love. The law of love's alive in me. Hallelujah. It lives, it's living in me. Hallelujah. It is not, I don't find it burdensome at all. And your flesh are saying, what? Say, no, I'm not talking to my flesh. I'm talking to my spirit. My spirit's down there going, yay! Somebody's finally talking my language. Somebody's giving me water to drink. I've been so thirsty down here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I hope that helped you some today. Hallelujah. You know, it was good me studying it, but it was better me preaching it. I think I helped me more. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, there's one thing I'll just say to you, though, is when you deal with these areas, even your own life, keep a sense of humor. You know, don't get yourself beat down in that. Don't allow that. Don't lose your joy over your mistakes.
Amen.
You know, heaven ain't wringing their hand because, you know, you did something. And we want to get ourselves, keep yourself, is one of the things is joy and peace in life is maintaining that. Is one of the things is thinking right about things. There's a lot of knowledge. I mean, I knew when I started off as a Christian, there was a lot of knowledge I had to change for myself because of how religion had taught me. And so you start going to the Word and you had to change a lot of things because I found out that, my God, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. But you know, those were just things that we used to read through before, but they were nice sayings, but they didn't really think God was like that. They didn't really think God was out here trying to do something for you, against you. He was working. And this is one of the things I think sometimes people get over and they feel that there's a weakness in their areas of their lives when it comes to repenting or turning or you see you missed it. Admitting these things is strength and ain't weakness. It is a weakness not to. You're a weak person if you just let things keep going on and you don't want to deal with them and you see them. That's a weakness in you. You need to see. That's a place Satan's exploiting your life. You need to bring a stop and say, hey, I'm not weak, I'm strong. I'm going to stand. I can look at the face of my mistakes. I can look in the face of them and say, God will forgive me and he'll show me what to do to get out of this mess I'm in. I'm going to get myself on the right path. And so you can sit around and whine and cry. You can come boldly to the throne of grace, or you can stay outside looking in the door and watching everybody else get forgiven. You have a choice. No, you get bold. You miss it, you rise up. It takes boldness and strength to walk in and say, you know what? I get in there. If anybody's going to forgive me, it's going to be him. Woo-hoo! He's going to do it, and I'm coming. Hallelujah. And get like that about it. You know, don't be one of these people you mess up and then it takes you months to get over. It's a sign of really a mental weakness in yourself. Now, I'm not saying to criticize people, but you can't change it if you don't identify that. See, a lot of people, they hold more against them than they do anybody. They learn to get over it. Their expectation, you know, I don't much care what anybody else thinks I ought to be or do. You know, you walk in the light where you're at. You know, you can't walk in the light where somebody else is at. You know, you have to grow into things, and everybody does. But see, you'll stare. You know, people will expect out of you where you ain't able to walk sometimes. You're not able to go. And, you know, they may not even trying to get you even to go there, but you see it in them and you think, then you feel bad, like, well, I'm weak, I'm not where they're at. You know, I remember looking at Kenneth Higgins in the ministry, and I starting off and looking at myself and I'm thinking, oh, dear Lord. Oh, my God. Does God even recognize me down here? And the whole time, God treated me so good and did so wonderful. Was just so merciful and kind. Hallelujah. And he ain't changed in all these years. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Glory. These words keep coming up in my spirit. These words keep coming up. The greatest power that the church has is my love. The greatest power in the church is my love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's been given to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, 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 yes. The Lord reminded me, the one song we sang here, and it was talking about sending the power down, you know, in a church. No, the power's down. Amen. The power's in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God didn't leave a little of the love in heaven. It's in you today. It's here today and it's in you. Hallelujah. And that power, the love of God is what saved you. The love of God is what transformed your life. How would he turn you into a new creature and not stick that love in there? He had to. Hallelujah. Because that power is what made it all happen. Hallelujah. And the law of love is in you today. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God. Health and healing and sound mind is in us today. Not something we're in a search for. It's in us. Love is working mightily. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want to thank you. Forgiveness, Lord God. Forgiveness, Father God. Hallelujah. Love just forgives. Oh, you didn't tell us to forgive and you not forgive us. Hallelujah. You're so forgiving, so kind to us. Hallelujah. I just say thank you so much, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, if anything, I pray here for your saints today that they leave this place, Lord God. Hallelujah. Their mind is free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Their thoughts, Lord God, are pure. There's not a weight on them. Hallelujah. Lord God, there's a fulfillment of life in them today. Hallelujah. Of the great love and of their God toward them and the love that is in them. Father God, they have strength in every situation. The love puts them over. Lord God, that wisdom flows to them. Hallelujah. They're not in darkness, but they're in light. Hallelujah. And that light is a shining brightly on them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, and they do, as the word says, they overcome in every situation. Hallelujah. They're on the top. The fulfillment, Lord God, of the blessing. They're the head and not the tail. They're above and not beneath. Blessed going in and blessed coming out. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, they're blessed in their bodies and in the fruit of their bodies. Hallelujah. Lord God, they're just blessed in every way. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.